हरे कृष्ण। Welcome to Radha Gopinath Temple. My sincerest gratitude to all of you for so kindly taking your precious time to be with us this afternoon. Time is precious because with every moment we could be investing in a future of eternal pastimes with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Or we can invest in the repeated cycle of birth and death. We all have free will. It is this principle of free will that differentiates us from the lower species. The animals and the birds and the fish, the reptiles, insects, trees and plants, their nature is they simply act according to the dictations of their instincts. And every species is programmed to have a particular type of instinct. There is no freedom to go beyond that. But human life, which is the crescendo of evolution of the soul through 8,400,000 different species, is very special. Because in human life, we could realize the very essence of our spiritual existence. Na jayate mriyate va kadachit. That we are eternal. Not subject to birth, old age, disease, or death. And we are Sachit Ananda. We are full of knowledge and full of happiness. We all seek happiness. Why? Because it is our nature. The ultimate basis of all happiness is the love between the soul and God. Forgetful of that, we try to fill the void of that loss in so many ways, with things, with sensual pleasures, with personal relationships, with accomplishments, money, prestige. But it cannot fill the void. It only distracts our attention away from that void. No pleasure within this world could in any way fill the void of the soul's desperate yearning to be reconnected with Krishna. Or God. All the pleasures, all the accomplishments and all the relationships of this world, just divert our attention away from the void that is there. But it's there. It's in the heart. What can we do? In order for there to be love, there must be free will. Human life is especially meant for self-realization. Atatho Brahma Jigyasa. This is the beginning of the Brahma Sutra. Now you have attended this human life. Inquire into your real welfare. Inquire into Brahman. Who am I? Who is God? What is truth? The birds, and the animals, and the plants, they cannot make this inquiry. Because they have such minimal free will. But as human beings, we can choose to be anything we want. We could be compassionate instruments of God, or we could be cruel, vicious killers. We could be charitable. Philanthropy is to give of ourselves to help people who are physically and mentally in need. Para upakar, the greatest charity, is to be instruments of God's love, to awaken people's souls, even at the cost of so much inconvenience. Or we could be greedy, with no second thought to exploit anyone or anyone, anywhere, to achieve our own purposes. We could be pure vegetarians, or we can sponsor the slaughter of innocent animals, cows, sheep, no problem drinking any type of blood or eating any type of meat, but don't cause any inconvenience to my dog or my cat. Or we can be Krishnatarians. Prabhupada said we are not vegetarians, we are Krishnatarians. That means pure vegetarian food offered to God in love and devotion. So human life, we have this free will. And with this free will, we can attain the aspiration that we are all longing to achieve. To fill the void within our heart. To actually come face to face with the problem of life and directly work to resolve it. That is why time is so precious. Because we don't have much time. Depending on who we are, a third of our life is sleeping. We need sleep, but we're not really doing anything. We're just resting so that we could do something. But then what do we do with our life? The scripture tells us there is no greater tragedy than to lose a single moment in this human life. Lose it means waste it. Waste it for the same pleasures, the same purposes as the lower species. Animals are eating, animals are sleeping, animals are mating, animals are defending. These things are necessities, most of them. But what is our purpose? And when our whole civilization practically is just evolving to create and enjoy more sophisticated ways of just enjoying the senses. Nayam deho deha bhajamna loke. Enjoying the senses, any species of life can do that. And actually, many are much better than us. If your enjoyment is eating, how much can you eat? Elephant can eat hundreds of kilos every day and not get indigestion. Just keep that flavor on the tongue and feel it going to the belly. Ariari, sounds like birds are chirping up there. But Prabhupada said, if you clap your hands, the birds fly away. So taking this human life and simply utilizing it to create more elaborate ways of doing what everybody else is doing is not anything very great. Real greatness is in our purpose and the integrity in which we pursue our purpose. And Krishna, God, gives everyone the opportunity to perfect their lives. Because there are different nationalities, there are different races, there are different sexes, we all have different karmas, different religions. There's so many differences between us. Some are rich, some are poor. Some are intellectual, some are illiterate. But none of these things are either qualifications or disqualifications for spiritual perfection. All that is inquired, all that is required, is our sincerity. The sincerity of our intent. In the scripture it is said that Krishna is bhavagrahi. That means that Krishna does not see what you offer. Krishna perceives the intention, the purpose, the sentiment in which it's offered. And everyone, regardless of our situation, has the free will to be sincere. Even if you have practically nothing materially, you have the power to offer Krishna the most glorious temples, the most glorious offerings. Because Krishna sees our heart. If you want to help people, even if you don't have much physical facility to do so, just the intention to help people and just the earnest effort to do so according to your capacity, in God's eyes, that is perfect and complete. In this regard, I would like to share the story of Narasinghananda Brahmachari, an associate of Lord Chaitanya. When Lord Chaitanya was living in Jagannath Puri, he decided to go to Vrindavan. He went with some of his close associates. They came to Navadvip, where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed in a place called Kuliagram, on the island of Koladvip. There, all those personalities who were hateful, envious, and blasphemous came to the Lord to beg forgiveness. Even those who blasphemed and offended the Lord himself. Lord Chaitanya welcomed them. One person said, "With my mouth, I have said so many horrible things against you, against your devotees, against innocent people. Now I regret it. What should I do?" Lord Chaitanya said, "To criticize others is like drinking poison." Because blasphemy and criticism is like poison. And when we speak it with our tongue, it's not just going out. We think that our words are just going outside our mouth toward the people who hear. But actually, it's being tasted by the tongue and digested deeply into the heart. And it is like poison. Poison in the sense that it corrupts our consciousness. It kills our good qualities. He said there's only one antidote to that poison. With your same mouth, drink nectar, amrit. And what is that nectar? To praise the qualities of others. Not as a matter of flattery for your own agenda, but to genuinely appreciate the good in others. To really appreciate the Lord's devotees and devotional activities. And especially, along with that, you cannot separate the two. Along with speaking the good qualities and appreciating and encouraging others, praising devotional acts and devotional people, uplifting those who are in trouble, we drink the nectar of the holy name by chanting Hare Krishna. Not only will that neutralize the poisonous effects, but it will nourish, it will enrich, it will enlighten the soul and attain the highest perfection. In this way, person after person after person, very, very evil, envious people were coming to the Lord. He was giving each and every one of them the key to unlock from within their hearts the dormant love of God that is within everyone. After meeting hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people in Kulia and leading them all in Nam Sankirtan, Lord Chaitanya continued his travel to Vrindavan. It began with many, many devotees coming with him. But then every village, every town he came to, people were astounded to see his beauty, to feel his compassion, and to participate in this chanting of kirtan, God's names. Soon, hundreds and thousands of people were following him. Millions of people were following him. And was ever increasing. This brahmachari named Narasingha Nanda, he was in Kulia. And when he saw Lord Chaitanya leaving Kulia for Vrindavan, he wanted to do some service. But he was a brahmachari. And traditionally, brahmacharis have no money and no possessions. He was very simple. He had nothing. He just lived in a little thatched hut. There was no furniture. He had no utensils. For eating, he would just go out and beg for some rice or whatever people would give him. He just had a set of clothes. He was so simple. He had nothing. But he wanted to do service for Lord Chaitanya. He was thinking the road is very hard to Vrindavan. The Lord would have to walk through forests and through desert-like fields. So he decided he would construct a road for the Lord to walk on. Now today in Bombay, it's hard enough for the government with all the taxpayers' money to construct a road. We have seen. How is this little brahmachari who has nothing, no government connections, how is he going to construct a road? And from Navadweep to Vrindavan is about how much? 1,000 kilometers? Approximately. How long is it from Bombay to Pune? How many kilometers? So it's probably at least 10 times more than that. Yes. And it took about 20 years to build that road. For the government. So how is this little skinny brahmachari going to build this road? I will tell. He sat down and closed his eyes. He said, he told the devotees, I'm going to build a road for Lord Chaitanya to walk on. Huh? And he closed his eyes and became totally absorbed. This is real samadhi. Samadhi doesn't mean just to blank the mind of nothing, but to completely absorb it in the loving service of the Lord. From the perspective of bhakti, that is samadhi. From the perspective of monism, samadhi is complete emptiness of the mind. On the path of bhakti, samadhi means total absorption, 100% absorption in the loving remembrance of the Lord and in serving the Lord. So he began right there. He was very meticulous. As meticulous as any architect engineer who's building a road, but even more. He was building it inch by inch. He went right from the Lord's doorstep and started the road. It was a wide road, completely flat. Then he paved it. He paved it with jewels, diamonds, emeralds, gold and silver. But then he was thinking the Lord's lotus feet should be very comfortable. So he got millions and millions of very fragrant flowers. And in his mind, he plucked all those flowers, the petals. And he covered the road with stemless flowers, just petals. And he meditated on the Lord walking on that road. Then on the sides of the roads, he didn't have time to just plant the seeds. He somehow or other transplanted. He created bakula trees. There, every flower, let us begin, every tree was covered with flowers. And each one was emitting the most ambrosial fragrance. And on each tree, there were birds. Not crows going, but cuckoo birds and nightingales and the sweetest bardrage birds, the sweetest sounding singing birds, trilling, warbling, chirping, all singing beautiful music in harmony with each other. And he was so expert. Even the best architectural designer getting paid the most amount of money cannot create breezes, natural breezes. But in his mind, there were breezes that were taking the fragrance of those flowers and bringing them to comfort the Lord's body and give the scent in his nose. Then behind the trees, he constructed lakes, large lakes with crystal clear water that was very sweet water. And in those lakes, he placed thousands of lotus flowers with bees very serenely buzzing and humming around those lotus flowers. The beautiful thing is, as Lord Chaitanya was walking, to everyone else's eyes, he was just on very, very dusty rural paths, surrounded by some fields or some deserts. That's what everyone else saw. But every single step Lord Chaitanya took, he was seeing, feeling, and experiencing the road that Narsingananda Brahmachari was constructing in his mind. This is Bhavagrahi. The Lord accepts the sentiment of our willingness and our intent to serve. Now, if Narsingananda Brahmachari was a king, he'd have to build the road. At least try. And even if a king tried with this same meditation, the Lord would see the same thing. What is our intent, and what is the effort we're making according to our intent? That is bhakti. When it is for the pleasure of the Lord, when it is to be an instrument of the compassion of the Lord for others. Hundreds and hundreds of kilometers passed as he was just building the road. one step at a time. He was just building the road, putting another tree, putting another lake, plucking more flowered petals, putting more jewels. He's totally absorbed. He wasn't even eating or sleeping. He was just building roads. Days went by, weeks went by, and he's completely immersed. The most beautiful thing is he could feel Lord Chaitanya reciprocating with him within his heart. He can experience the Lord's pleasure. Why? Ishvara sarvabhutanam hriday sharjutatishtiti. Krishna tells in the Bhagavad Gita, I am situated in everyone's heart. And when Krishna is pleased, from within the heart, the Lord reciprocates. We feel his pleasure, we feel his love in a purified state. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachchati. Bhagavad Gita teaches us, Krishna says, you can offer me a leaf, a flower, some fruit or water. If it is offered with devotion, I accept it. Krishna is only concerned with our love, with our devotion. If it is without malice, without duplicity, if it is honest, innocent, and genuine. And Krishna explained, I am controlled by that love. So he constructed this road for hundreds of kilometers, and at a certain point, he came to the place called Kanai Natashala. Now, he was going way ahead of the Lord. The Lord was walking. He was paving way ahead of him. At Kanai Natashala, he's sitting in Kulia, and he's not able to build the road beyond that point. His meditation just stops. He's trying, he's struggling, but nothing happens beyond there. Narsinghananda Brahmachari comes out of his meditation and says to all of the people around him with great assertion, the Lord will not go beyond Kanai Natasala. He's not going to Vrindavan. He's coming back to Puri. People said, he just went to Vrindavan. So many people are going with him. He said, no, you see, he will not go beyond Kanai Natashala. Everybody understood that he was a very great person, so they did not question him, but they were confused. Lord Chaitanya came to Ramakeli. It's a very famous story, but it's another class. By the time he came to Ramakeli, there were millions of people chanting the holy names in his kirtan. And Ramakeli happened to be the place of the king who hated Hindus and outlawed any Hindu practice. And Lord Chaitanya just led millions of people practically right to the door of the palace of the king. He was fearless. And ultimately, Lord Chaitanya met Rupa and Sanatan Goswami under a tamal tree in a very secluded little garden in Ramakeli. And after humbling themselves, although Rupa and Sanatan Goswami were the home minister and prime minister of the entire kingdom, they were multi-billionaires, they were highly learned scholars, they were loved, they were famous, they were everything anyone could want. But they were humble, gentle, and kind. They had no arrogance. They presented themselves before the Lord as the least, most insignificant of all beings, and prayed for his shelter. The Lord not only gave them his shelter, the Lord gave them his heart. bhakti, not only can we attain God, but the Lord, when he sees humility and devotion, he gives his own heart to that devotee. After their historical exchange, Sanatana Goswami said to Lord Chaitanya that you should not go to Vrindavan with so many people. Better you go alone or with one or two others. Lord Chaitanya left them and continued on to Vrindavan. And where do you think he ultimately came to? Kanai Natashala. It's not really on the way in one sense. But he somehow or other went there because Nrsingananda Brahmachari, he paved the road in, according to that route. So Lord Chaitanya was following the route. The road was only in his mind. The mind is within the heart. Some people think the mind is somewhere in the brain. The mind is actually in the heart. The brain is the mechanism that manifests the thoughts of the mind that's within the heart. Yes, I'm not expert at computers, but you have a screen, yes, and you have a hard drive, and then you have softwares and all that kind of stuff. My comparison may not be right, but the mind is like the software, and the brain is like the hard stuff. You know, it just facilitates. Is it something like that? It's not like that. I'm sorry. Please erase that from the tape. The brain is just a physical mechanism which facilitates in a grosser level the impressions within the mind that is within the heart. Krishna is seated within the heart of every living being. We may have forgotten him, but he's the witness. So the same Lord Chaitanya that's on the road is in the heart of Nrsingananda Brahmachari. And because he's paving that road, he's making the route of the Lord in his heart, Lord Chaitanya is seeing and following that route, even though he's hundreds of miles away. So he goes to Kanai Natashala. And there, Kanai Natashala is a beautiful forest. Maybe this year in Mayapur, we will go there. But if we go there, we may have the same problem Lord Chaitanya had, because so many people. It's just like Vrindavan. There is kadamba trees and tamal trees and banyan trees and bakula trees. Jackfruit trees, mango trees, so many beautiful trees. It's surrounded on three sides by the river Ganges. Ganga curves around Kanai Natashala. And at that place, the Ganga is no less than 1 mile wide. You cannot see the end. From one bank, it looks like an ocean. Beautiful place. So Lord Chaitanya was there, and Kanai Natashala is a place where people regularly go to discuss the topics of Krishna, to perform dramas about Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya was absorbed. This is Vrindavan. But all these hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people, they were just, you know, walking and making so much noise and breaking different bushes, and birds were running, flying away. And Lord Chaitanya was thinking, what Sanatana Goswami is saying is right. If I really want to appreciate Vrindavan, I shouldn't go with a million people. And then to everyone's great surprise, he turned and said, I will go back to Jagannath Puri where I came from. Actually, the devotees didn't care where the Lord was going, as long as they could be with him. Because wherever he was, as far as they were concerned, that is you. Wherever you are, that is Vrindavan. If he went to Bombay, they would be happy. So Lord Chaitanya went back to Puri. And devotees were wonderstruck. How did Narsinghananda Brahmachari know? That is the power of devotion. So whatever our situation, we have complete opportunity. There is no limitation that any material situation could create to impede our spiritual progress if we are sincere and we have the right intent. Everything begins with our desire. Everything is based on our desire. Kolavecha Sridhar was so poor. He just had raggedy clothes, a little thatched hut. He was emaciated because he didn't get enough food. He was a very poor man. And Lord Chaitanya, before he revealed who he was, when he was just a young boy, he would go to Kolavecha Sridhar's little place where he was selling banana leaves. Sometimes he had some bananas or banana flowers. And Nimai would say, how much is this? He would quote the best price. He was a different kind of businessman. He would calculate, how could I somehow or other survive and charge as little as possible? Because he wanted to serve people. Have you ever met a businessman like that? But he was so honest. He said he was honest as Maharaj Yudhisthira. Couldn't even think of telling a lie. It was just everyone's well-wisher. And he was so unknown, nobody even knew who he was. People would just call him Kolavecha, which means banana seller. They didn't even know his name. So he had no fame, he had no prestige, he had no money, he had nothing. Except one thing. He had love for God. And therefore he was completely satisfied. Absolutely happy within himself. So little Nimai would come, how much is this? He would say, this much. I will give you half. So if you give me half, I will go, I will have nothing. It's less than what I had paid. Lord Chaitanya, he said, don't try to cheat me. I'll give you half. If you don't like that, then I'll just take it for nothing. And he would pick it up. He'd pick it up and take it. Every day, Lord Chaitanya would spend 2 or 3 hours arguing over the price of bananas with Kolavecha Sridhar. Now, this is the Supreme Lord. This is Jehovah, Allah, Ram, Narasimha, Vishnu, Krishna, the one Supreme God. The master of Vaikuntha, the creator, maintainer, and destroyer of all cosmic manifestations. Doesn't he have better things to do than arguing over the price of bananas? And what's he going to get from this person? He's not going to build any big temples for him. But Lord Chaitanya couldn't give up the association of this innocent man who just had so much love in his heart. And Kolavecha Sridhar didn't even know who the Lord was. Somehow he loved him, but he didn't know why. And then there was Buddhimanta Khan. When the Lord decided to marry, he arranged, he said, I will bear the entire expense of this marriage. It will not be a poor man's marriage. He had wealth. He used it. King Prataparudra was the king of Orissa. Very powerful, very wealthy. Everything was his. When the Lord would not see him, because he was in such a materialistic position, King Prataparudra decided to give up his palace, all of his wealth, his position, and become a beggar. Because he understood what is real wealth. Real wealth isn't about power or control. It isn't about material acquisition. Real wealth is about love. Love for God. And where there is love for God, there is natural, spontaneous love for every living being who is part of God. If I'm not pleasing Lord Chaitanya, King Prataparudra was thinking, all these things are just a disturbance to me. I will sleep on the street, go door to door begging, and spend the rest of my life like that with the hope that I will get Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Now that was his intent. And he was actually willing to do it. Lord Chaitanya understood his intent and his willingness. So Lord Chaitanya gave him the most intimate association and unbelievable blessings. King Prataparudra disguised himself under the guidance of the devotees and went to sing beautiful songs to the Lord of the gopis' separation from Krishna and massage the Lord while he was dancing after he danced at Ratha Yatra. And Lord Chaitanya pretended that he didn't know who he was. And he embraced him and soaked him with his tears. Said, you are giving me so much nectar. You are my best friend. I am completely indebted to you. Who are you? Now that's a serious question. If he says, I'm King Prataparudra. But he can't lie. You can't lie to the absolute truth and get away with it. So he was completely honest. Who am I? I am the servant of the servant of your servants. And my only aspiration is to be the servant of your servants. Because he said it sincerely from his heart. He meant it. Didn't matter that he was king. Didn't matter anything. Lord Chaitanya revealed to him his divine opulences and awarded him the ultimate perfection of life. And King Prataparudra remained as a king. But he utilized everything to uplift others. There was no greed. There was no pride. He used all of his power and all of his wealth in the service of God for the welfare of others. So in whatever situation, whether we're selling banana leaves or whether we're kings or anything in between, if we just have sincere intent, to be instruments of God's grace in our life and offer whatever we speak, whatever we think, and whatever we do for the pleasure of Krishna, Krishna accepts. Krishna reciprocates within our hearts. And how does he reciprocate? By showering us with his love and awakening our love. That is bhakti. And the prime benediction for all humanity in this age of Kali, according to Lord Chaitanya, is the way of awakening that dormant state of consciousness that is within us. Through living a life of integrity. Through cultivating a spirit of selfless service. And in that spirit, chanting the holy name. And yes, every moment is so precious. Padam padam yadvi padam natesham. We do not know how many moments we have. At any, there is danger at every step on the material platform. In so many ways, on so many levels. The terrorist activities that took place in Bombay were tragic and horrible. But factually, what is it? About 300 times more people get killed in India every day in automobile accidents. When you're driving your car, there's more chance that some, and that's people who get killed, what to speak of injured. So we're afraid of some things, which are horrible. But we should understand that even if everything is very nice, there's still danger at every step. The Srimad Bhagavatam tells us that the human life is especially meant to be focused on quality. There's a tree in Sweden, a Norwegian spruce, that is 9,500 years old. That's an old tree. That tree has been standing there in the same place in Sweden. It's pretty cold there. It's been standing through 9,500 Swedish winters and summers. That means Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago. Double the time between us and Krishna. The tree was standing there. Same place. Standing there throughout the history. Lord Buddha, Shankaracharya, Jesus Christ, Muhammad. Saw Alexander the Great and his conquerors and Genghis Khan, Hitler and Napoleon, saw the Revolutionary War, standing. And stand, the same soul is in the same body for that much history. But before I told you about this tree, how many of people knew about him? And even now, how many of you care about him? What's he doing? I mean, with all respects to the tree, we should respect every living entity. They're all part, everyone's part of God, so we offer all respects to that Norwegian spruce tree. But is that a great life? Longevity? Jesus lived 31 years. Shankaracharya lived 32 years. Lord Chaitanya, 48 years. Prahlad gave all these amazing teachings when he was 5 years old. Shukadeva Goswami says, better one moment of full pure consciousness than a whole long life wasted in the same old things. Puna punas charvata charvananam. It's just the same old things of temporary enjoyments. That is how precious every moment is. If we could just fix one moment of our life in absorption, in accessing the love of God, we are forever perfect. So we thank you for coming and utilizing your precious time today, for hearing some words that we hope will inspire you toward the higher purpose that we are all meant for. Is there any questions? If anyone has any questions, please, my microphone will come. While the microphone is going there, I would like to announce that this Tuesday, I think it's 6 o'clock, is the ceremony for the memorial service for our very beloved devotee Shyam Krishna Prabhu, who really... he didn't live a long life in years, but his total commitment, his total absorption, his sweet love and surrender is of such an exalted and rare nature that better than living hundreds of years. He gave his life and his soul in the service of Krishna. An extraordinary life with extraordinary service. So we will be speaking about him, and many devotees will be honoring him with our loving memories on Tuesday. Everyone is invited. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Maharaj Dandavat. Thank you very much for this wonderful class. It's a bit aside from the class. Maharaj, it happens to me at least many times that sentimentally I do some very good devotional acts and consider myself at that particular point of time ki, see how pure I am. For example, we should always give credits to others. Sometimes it happens. I did something, but give the credits to others, that's very nice. But then mind cheats us in the way that, see, you are such a nice devotee, giving credits to other. Wow. So, this pride is such a subtle thing that it comes even when I try to follow some Vaishnava qualities. So, it's very difficult. And it happens all the time. In some here and there, I did something good. Pride just comes over and completely covers the whole consciousness. Kindly help, Maharaj. Thank you.
Maybe you should help me. I wish I could be like that. You are on the right track. Just please carry on. Krishna says in Gita that the mind is chanchalam. The mind is very frivolous. But the intelligence is meant to keep the mind on track. So most important is you understand what you really want. You want to help others. You want to bring people closer to God. You want to please the Lord. You want to not take credit for yourself. Because actually, when you take credit for your good work, you really spoil the sweetness of that work. Because it gets all caught up with the false pride, and then you become more arrogant, and you think yourself superior to others. And that's like a burning fire in your heart. It's not a pleasing sensation. But when you recognize I'm just an instrument of a higher power, and you share the credit with others, it's painful to your ego. But it gives great bliss to your soul, to your heart. And it waters. It nourishes the plant of love. So you understand that. You want that. That is your intent. And you're trying for that. But your mind is doing its thing of just trying to divert your attention. By hearing the truth regularly, by associating with people who remind you of that truth, by doing your sadhana of chanting God's name nicely, you're giving yourself a strong spiritual foundation. So whenever the storms of the mind comes, your intent, your purpose remains intact. And then you just carry on. With your good intelligence, don't take seriously or pay attention to the flickering of the mind. Keep focused on your real purpose and your real intent and the virtues and character that you're aspiring to cultivate. Does that answer your question?
Thank you.
You are welcome. Microphone is traveling long distances. Very well.
Hare Krishna.
Yes.
Maharaj, just yesterday evening in your class, you mentioned that the world is in a mess that it has never been ever. That was definitely a very true and a deep statement. And we all are experiencing the mess the world is in. And personally for me, Maharaj, along with that, the wonderful discourses that I'm getting to attend at Radha Gopinath Temple, especially your wonderful classes, is such a relief to the heart. But simultaneously, because the world is in such a mess, we are finding a lot of shelter in the discourses, but I personally speaking, we are losing all the taste to do any of our duties in the material world because it's such a messy situation outside. We are feeling completely unenthusiastic. We know we are supposed to do it, but there's no enthusiasm in doing it. We are finding more taste, more happiness in just hearing Krishna Katha. But I know for sure it is not out of attraction to Krishna, but it is just, the desperate situation that we are in, materially speaking. So, Maharaj, I had two questions as to how do we really, in spite of the material turmoil that is going outside in the world, we maintain our enthusiasm to do our duties as grihasthas, to earn money and to do whatever material activities we need to do. Because everything is just, it is just in front of our eyes is getting to a mess and getting more and more messier. So how do we really maintain enthusiasm, Maharaj? Because personally speaking, at least I I'm losing all enthusiasm because there's nothing that I can see is of any value, materially speaking. So how do we really take care of this situation, Maharaj?
Thank you for this very insightful question. I can't give you a very deep realized answer, since, let me just count for a minute. I haven't had a job in 39 years. Yes, 40 years. How do you, does that answer your question?
It can't be like you, Maharaj. That's
that's your good fortune. But human life, tapodivyam putraka yena sattvam. If you're raising your family with spiritual purpose, spiritual intent, and you're living by those principles, then maintaining your family financially is your devotion to God. It's your contribution to the world. So we don't say you should love your job. You should love Krishna. But if your job is part of the way you're serving Krishna, it is your responsibility. So you should carry on. But at the same time, our joy in life is being invigorated by Harikatha, by talks about Krishna, by chanting Krishna's name, by kirtan of Krishna with Krishna's devotees. Yes? By doing direct seva for Krishna. This gives us life. This gives us meaning. It's our foundation. And then we may have to build on it through our occupational duties. We may not like. We may like. But we do it because it's the right thing to do. Yes? Even if the world, everything was nice, if the economy was good, if the ecology is nice, still, you may not like your husband or wife. That happens, doesn't it? I've never been married either, so I can't. But I've seen it. Does that mean you just quit your husband and wife because, you know, I'm tired of you? No, you stay together because it's your duty and you work it out and make, you know, put a higher principle between you and come to that level. Even if the economy was nice and the ecology was good and everything else was nice and the politics and your favorite person in the world was the Prime Minister of India. Still, you may have children who are really disobedient and disrespectful to you. That happens. So what do you do? Do you give them up? It's your duty, it's your dharma to take care of that child. Even if it's inconvenient, even if you don't like, it is part of your responsibility to God. So we are not concerned necessarily what we're enlivened with. We're concerned with what is the right thing to do? What is our responsibility as human beings in our particular situation in this world? And how to spiritualize it all. We should perform our work not because we like our work. We should perform our work because of the purpose in which we are doing it. We should retain our relationships in marriage or whatever not necessarily because we're so compatible with one another, because compatibility is always going up and down. Sometimes it just goes down. It's because we're together for a higher purpose. And sometimes the problems force us. If we're going to make this work, we have to come to a higher platform. We have to be doing it for a higher cause than I like you or you like me, or I like my job and it's fun, or I don't. When there is a crisis like this, then you are impelled to either do wrong, to suffer on the same level you're on, or to strive to perform your work, to maintain your relationships on a higher platform. Bhavagrahi, the higher platform of Dharma. I will be even if I feel miserable toward you, I will be kind to you, because that's how I show my love for Krishna. Yes? I will do my work because that's how I show my love for Krishna. This is not my family, this is Krishna's family. I'm entrusted with this responsibility. I cannot abandon them. So keep the higher purpose in mind, param drisvani vartate, and every aspect of life becomes very exciting, even the most boring things. And because those things are so boring, it will also impel you to go deeper and deeper into the spiritual aspect of life. And that will energize you to do what's boring, and it won't be boring anymore. Does that make sense? Coming from an unmarried man who hasn't had a job in 40 years. Is there another question? Yes. No,
Maharaj, you are giving an example of Kolavacha Sridhar and Narasimhananda Brahmachari, that even if you are materially not having anything, but what that is required in Krishna consciousness is your sincerity. If you are sincere enough in Krishna consciousness, you can achieve the goal, whatever you wanted to achieve, and you finish your business of going back to Godhead. What is happening in our household life is, we feel it that sincerity is important, but at the same time, we feel that we have to do the needful. We have to plan our life. We have to see to it that everything goes all right at certain point of time as far as finance is concerned, family duties are concerned. Everything is properly going on in a very proper in sequence. And by doing all those things, become so much engrossed that at one point of time, we forget it that the sincerity is more important than doing the needful as such. All doing all this thing needful and such. And at that time, we miss the bus rather than thinking about all sincerity thing and doing all other things. We become so engrossed that the focus is becoming let compromise. So how to see to it that we keep that focus very clear, whether we do the needful. Of course, we have to do the needful. But even if we don't do the needful sometime or the other, we keep the focus very clear that more important is sincerity, not all other things as such. And see that we finish our goal as such.
Thank you for your very sincere question. Nasta prayeshu bhadreshu nityam bhagavati sevaya. Bhagavati uttama sloke bhaktir bhavati naishtaki. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that in order for a person to do their work in this world, you have to eat. Yes? You have to eat food. If you do not eat food, then you'll be weak. You will not be able to do anything. Food is food. Food is nourishment to this physical body. Now, emotionally, for people to be strong, usually they need to feel appreciated and encouraged. That gives us emotional strength to carry on. Spiritually, we also have to be strong. The food grains that give strength to us spiritually to maintain that sincere and devoted disposition while we're trying to do the needful in this world is our sadhana. Hearing the discourses, reading from spiritual books, chanting God's holy names, performing the puja. These spiritual activities, if they are done with the right intent, they will give us a spiritual strength that is beyond our own. Krishna tells us in Gita, I am the intelligence of the intelligent. I am the ability in man and woman. I am the strength of the strong. Our sadhana is to access a grace, a mercy beyond ourselves to empower us. Yes? And just as we don't eat one day and then come for prasad 1 month later. If you want to do your work, you have to eat every day. Some of us, 3 times a day. Yes? So our spiritual needs, our spiritual nourishment, it's not just a matter of I'll eat once a week on Sunday. You're not going to be spiritually strong like that. Every day, some special time should be put aside to focus on our spiritual needs. And that will keep us, that will keep our sincerity and our purpose very, very centered. And then even if the mind and the environment around us may distract us from time to time, we will have the strength to bring it back. When lust and envy and anger and greed and pride and illusion, when all these things attack, if we're spiritually strong, we'll be able to deal with it. We'll be able to take shelter of something higher. Yes? Vishayava nivartante nirahara dehina rasa varjam rasopyasya param drishtvani vartate. It's very difficult to remain of good character. It's very difficult to remain on the path of devotion. Bhagavad Gita says the mind and the senses are so strong and impetuous they can carry away even the consciousness of a person who is very strong spiritually. If we are not well nourished. Yes? So we must keep that focus on a regular basis. Does that answer your question? And this humble disposition that you have, that I want this sincerity, but I don't have enough of it, that is also the way of attaining it. When you're hungry for something, when it comes, you can digest it. If you just eat a huge meal, and someone offers you some very nutritious gulab jamun. You can't eat it. And even if you do, you don't digest it properly. Hunger is required for good digestion. Yes? So in order to digest the grace of God, we have to be hungry for it. And that hunger is really what you're asking about. I want that sincerity. In this ever-changing world, I want that sincerity. Dealing with this ever-changing mind, I need that sincerity. Because you want it, because you need it, you can pursue it. And when you pursue it, you will digest it. You will be nourished by it, and you will become empowered by it. So one more question. Yes, I love you. Does any ladies have any question? Yes.
Dandavat Pranam.
Dandavat Pranam.
There is a saying in English which says, one great action is better than 1,000 good intentions. So about your story of that Brahmin who was building a road for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how do you, differentiate between these two, that statement and what he did?
That is a brilliant question.
Hare Krishna.
Now I have to reevaluate the whole class I just gave. One great action is better than 1,000 good intentions. It's very obvious what that means. That means if you're not willing to do it, your intention isn't very good. Yes? A real intention is something that you're willing to do. Nrsingananda Brahmachari did it according to his capacity. Yes? But I don't know if there's any sayings about what happens with actions with bad intentions. There's a lot of that stuff going around too. If your intention is bad, your actions are usually pretty bad too. Yes? So yes, we must have proper action with good intentions. But it's the intention that gives the action substance spiritually. What is your motive? Are you giving in charity because you want name and fame? Or are you giving in charity because you really care about people? Or are you giving in charity because you really want to be an instrument of God's love? These are three different platforms of doing the same thing. And God is going to reciprocate accordingly. If you're giving in charity for name and fame, God will give you name and fame. If you're giving in charity because you really care about people's physical suffering, God will help you to alleviate people's physical suffering. If you're giving in charity because you really want to be an instrument of love, God will give you his love. So if we have good intentions, but we're not willing to act on it, that means our intention is empty, hollow, and void of real sincerity. Yes? A person's drowning. And I know how to swim. I have the intention that that person will be saved. But, you know, I'm eating my samosa and it tastes really good, so. What is the use of that intention? If your intention is sincere, you'll put down your samosa, you'll jump in the lake and save that person. Yes? Nrsingananda Brahmachari didn't just say, oh, I just intend to build a road for the Lord. He did it according to his capacity, according to what he had. But as I said, if he was a millionaire, his intention would have to be manifested by actually doing something on that road. The point of the story is, there's no limitation in our spiritual life due to material circumstances if our intention is actually sincere. Does that answer your question?
Thank you, Prabhupada.
Thank you. Thank you for your good intentions. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Nisinganand Brahmachari, he was a simple Brahmachari.
Something like you.
Something like, but also different, because he had great love for Lord Chaitanya, and I'm not having.
But you play the trumpet.
He had no attachments.
What is your question?
He had no attachments, yet when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled towards Vrindavan with thousands of devotees, Nisimananda Brahmachari, he stayed back in Puri. So why did he stay back? And what can we learn from this for our own endeavors in devotional service?
He stayed back in Kulia.
Oh, in Kulia.
In Navadvip. Yes.
Why he did not travel with Lord Chaitanya? Why he stayed back?
Because he was more concerned with serving the Lord than going with the Lord. He felt he could do better service by building a road than just walking along a dirty, dusty road with the Lord. Yes? So service is more important than just physically being with someone. We often give the example of Prabhupada's statement where devotees were asking Prabhupada about how we really want to be with you, close to you physically. And Prabhupada said, in this room, who is closest to me? The devotees were looking at each other. Oh, he's pretty close. He's pretty close. And Prabhupada said, the closest person to me in this room is this mosquito on my arm. And he's simply causing me anxiety. Or this fly that's buzzing around and landing in my eyes. So just being close is not very important. What is important is our service attitude. Are we pleasing the Lord? Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, they would have been very, very happy to stay in Puri with Lord Chaitanya for the rest of their lives. Lokanath Goswami, the guru named after him. Lokanath Goswami was told by Lord Chaitanya, I'm going to be taking sannyas. It will be too painful for you to see it. Go to Vrindavan, prepare for my arrival, and I will come and meet you there. So Lokanath Goswami went all the way to Vrindavan, 1,000 kilometers and more, and waited for the Lord. The Lord did take sannyas. But then he decided to go to South India instead. Yes? First he went to Puri, then he went to South India. Lokanath Goswami heard the Lord went to South India instead. He couldn't tolerate being separated physically from the Lord, so he walked by foot all the way to South India. Then he got the news, when he got to South India, Lord Chaitanya returned to Puri. So he walked by foot all the way up to Puri. This is thousands and thousands and thousands of kilometers. And when he got to, on the outskirts of Puri, he heard that Lord Chaitanya had already left and gone to Vrindavan. I'm supposed to be waiting for him there, preparing his way. As fast as he could rush, he walked all the way to Vrindavan. He arrived in Vrindavan. He heard the news that Lord Chaitanya just spent 2 months in Vrindavan traveling through the 12 forests, and he's already left. He's in Prayag. Lokanath Goswami could have been with the Lord for that 2 months, going through the 12 forests of Vrindavan. Sitting and chanting with him at Imlital, living with him at Akruragat, bathing with him at Vishram Ghat, Keshi Ghat. Hare Krishna. So he decided, tomorrow morning I'm going to Prayag. Lord Chaitanya appeared to him in a dream. He said, I want you to stay in Vrindavan. I need you to serve me here there. He stayed in Vrindavan for the rest of his life. He never physically saw the Lord again. Can you believe? Before the Lord took sannyas, he was instructed to go to Vrindavan. He never saw him physically again. But because he was serving the will of the Lord, he always felt the presence of the Lord in his heart. And Narottam Das Thakur wanted, I want him to be my guru because of his love for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Narsinghananda Brahmachari, his mood was, how could I best serve? That's why he stayed back. Is there one more question? Then we will end. We're just about to end, so please do not become too restless.
Hare Krishna, yes. Maharaj, thank you for your wonderful answer. In continuation to the Eklavya Prabhu's question only, like sometimes there is a doubt in the mind in regards to association only, that sometimes mind says, no, no, you need more association, or sometimes mind says, no, you should now render service, especially like we are in Pune. So always dilemma comes, sometimes the service is there, or sometimes we should take more association, come here. So this always is there only. So we wanted to know from you, means how we should prioritize things like that.
You should discuss this subject with Radhishan. But you should, it's good to balance the two. But Srila Prabhupada, when he would come, he wanted devotees to come and see him. Otherwise, what's the use of me coming somewhere and taking so much trouble to speak if people don't take advantage of that? He's offering his heart. He's offering his love when he's speaking. The reciprocation is to come and listen and follow. But he didn't want devotees just following him around everywhere. Yes? So when opportunities are there, we should certainly be very eager to come for physical association, senior devotees. But at the same time, we have our service. And to the degree we're really sincere and dedicated to performing our service, to that degree, we're going to be receptive to what we hear. Yes? The message we hear from the great souls is going to affect our heart according to our service attitude. So there should be a very careful balance between the two. Thank you very much. Now we will perform Nam Sankirtan.